Okay, I'd like to welcome everyone to Challah Week, which is the week of Parsha Shlach. The mitzvah of Hafrashas Challah is presented in this mitzvah, and we thought it was a beautiful opportunity to delve into both the lumdis and the halachos that pertain to the mitzvah of Challah, which apply to us in America, in Fairlawn, on a weekly basis, if you do so following the minug of kedumim that have a practice, women, before they prepare for Shabbos, to bake challahs. So there's a minug that women should be mafresh challah, and it's a special skula, and you'll hear more about that tomorrow through your wives. But what I'd like to talk about tonight is some of the background of the mitzvah, the nature of the mitzvah historically, what applies today, and different cases that are interesting type cases of where challah applies. But I really knew that Challah Week had a special hashgacha when this shaila came up this past Friday after we decided to institute and to begin and implement Challah Week into the community. Rebecca took Ba'isara, my daughter, and a friend. They were having a play date on Friday afternoon, and she took them back, and they were in the car. And I was manning the fort. I was in charge. And I was left with Tzvi. I think Tzvi was upstairs. And I was downstairs watching my little baby son, Akiva. So Akiva was playing nicely. And I had an opportunity to be Maver Sedra and prepare for Shabbos and go over the Parsha. And then Akiva walks up to me. And I see he has this little piece of challah in his hand. So now I start getting curious. How did this boy, I didn't give him any food, how did he get challah? So I walk into the kitchen, over to where the food for Shabbos is set up on top of the stove, and there are two challahs that are heating up, and there's a piece of the challah that's missing on one of the challahs. And I said, oh gosh, I'm in trouble. What happened over here? I wasn't watching, and he just took a piece of the challah off. Fine. So, Rebecca comes home. I told her what happened. Fine. Okay, it's not a problem, Ellie. I have another challah roll in the freezer. Come back from shul Friday night, and Rebecca comes to me and says, right before Kiddush, you're not going to believe what happened. Rebecca went to Daven Mincha, whatever it is, and he took another piece of the challah roll. So now, we were seriously running out of challahs. So the shaila was, okay, at first, you know, we had another challah roll, we could use the other challah roll. Is there anything else that we can rely on after Akiva keeps on pulling the shtick and it seems like an endless cycle? So I said, yes, there was. And it pertains to this week, Challah Week, because if you look in the Shari Tshuva and the Machtis HaShekel, in the Siman on Lechem Mishnah, so he quotes the Tshuva of the Chacham Tzvi that says that as long as only a little piece, 1/48 of the challah was taken off, so that does not remove the shame shalem, complete roll, and it could still be used for Lechem Mishnah. So Akiva took off a little piece, and originally I said, you know, we don't have to be mekel like the Chacham Tzvi that brings a proof from Erevin that it's just like it's a complete bread from Erevin, you know, that you could use it for your Erev Tchumen if you put it in a location. So too, you can apply the same halachos when it comes to your Lechem Mishnah. So the first time I said, okay, let's try to get another once I saw that Akiva had a whole system over here, so I thought that maybe one could be mekel like this Chacham Tzvi, like the Shari Tshuva, like the Machtis HaShekel. But then I realized, wow, where did the shear of 1/48 come from? You want to know where it comes from? It comes from this week's parsha. It comes from Challah Week. Because as we'll see, as we go through the sources, the halacha is that when a person gives challah, if he's cooking it on a personal level, in his household, chalas bala bayis, so he gives 1/24 of the bread, of the isa. However, chalas nachtom, A baker should give the fraction of 1/48 to the Kohen, and that's the source of the measurement of what they're extrapolating from challah, and even applying it to Hilchos Erev Tchumen, and applying it to the halacha of Lechem Mishnah, just like the baker has to give 1/48 of his bread for the Kohen. Now, you might be thinking and asking, well, I'm not a baker, that's not my business, so why is the shear relevant to me to be 1/48? So that's what I'd like to discuss and delve with you for a second to understand where things originated, how they started, and what happens bizman hazeh. So if we look in source number one, we're presented a fundamental machlokes on the nature of the mitzvah of challah, originating in the Sefer HaMitzvahs of the Rambam, and the Ramban argues on the nature of this mitzvah challah. The Rambam says in source number one, "V'hamitzvah hakuf lamed gimel, hi shetzivanu la'afrish challah me'arisa seinu." The Torah commanded us to separate challah from our dough. V'litne l'kohen, v'hu amra yisalav yisparach shemo. In Parsha Shlach, this week's Parsha, Reishis arisoschem, chala tarimu truma. A person should take off part of his dough, and that chala should be considered truma. Now it's very important to understand that the way the Torah refers to the chala is really mimicking the other mitzvah of truma. Just like there you gave it to the Kohen, the truma, so too when it comes to chala, it mimics that same mitzvah, and it is a truma. Ad kedei kach, you look into Shulchan Aruch, and some have the practice, bizman hazeh, when they are being mafrish challah, some women do not say, lahafrish challah mina isa, but rather they recite, lahafrish truma. Because that's really the way it's referred to in the Torah. And the Vilna Gaon writes, on that statement, on that Shulchan Aruch, and that halacha of what should be the nusach of the bracha, that the machlokas is, do we use the lashon of chazal, the meseches challah? Is that the ikar lashon? Is that the focus? Or no, should we refer to it the way it's referred to in the Torah, which it's designed as truma, and that's the lashon that we should use? Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky has a fascinating insight that he thinks that the machlokas was really, the machaber and the ramah was really dependent on where these people were located. If you were dealing with chalas eretz yisrael, so then you referred to it as truma. But if you were coming in chutz la'aretz, where it's, as we'll see as we go on, it's a lower level chiyuv, even though they're both rabbinic, but they're different in nature, so therefore they took on the institution of chazal, the way chazal referred to it, which is the language of chala, and not the language of truma. It's an interesting insight, but lamaisa, it's a debate amongst the poskim, what should even be the nusach, the way you recite the bracha, when being mafrish chal. So the Torah calls it truma. Ukvar hisparu mishpatei ha-mitzvah zeh, kula meseches mitzvah, meseches arla, ve'eno chovim min ha-Torah, ela be'eretz Yisrael levad. Okay. Says the Ramban in his Asagas, V'chein adin ha-sheni, she'yigzar ha-rav limnos, ma she'lokeach ha-kohen chilek min ha-mitzvah, eno din shaveh etzli bekulon, ava yesh behem chilek. Ki ha-dvarim ha-tovlim, heim shtei mitzvahs bevadai. The Ramban tells the Rambam, he says, you missed the boat. Chala is not one mitzvah, should not be counted in one paragraph, argues the Ramban. He says, no, fundamentally, there are two things going on every time a person takes off challah from his bread. On the one hand, you right now bake dough. You baked 5 pounds together. It's all together. You are now going about, before you recite the bracha, you are about to take off a piece, right? Right after you recite the bracha, and then you take it off. So what did you do? You just removed the iser tevel, the prohibition of eating the challah dough without removing challah. That's tevel. That's prohibited. Before you take off the challah, says the Ramban, that is considered machalos asurus. That's like chazir. That's not permitted to eat. So when I take off the piece of challah, I first of all am doing a mitzvah of hafrasha. That should be one mitzvah. And then says the Ramban, and there should be a totally separate mitzvah of what we know, that you should give it to Willie, you should give it to the Kohen. That's a separate mitzvah. That, argues the Ramban, is a separate mitzvah neshina. Before we take it off, it's prohibited. And we have a separate independent mitzvah. The shalom, that we should remove a piece of truma off of the challah. The shalom yale b'libenu shenarmo solahotzi ha'isa me'isr v'nazvenu. And then the Torah goes on and commands us in a separate, independent mitzvah. Don't just leave it in your kitchen. Onash l'chosa ba'esh, and we should just burn it. Tziva osani yisbarach. Another mitzvah, says the Ramban, shenemar me'reishis arisoschem tidnu la'ashem truma. V'chein nitztavinu minasinas ha'truma. This is a very fundamental debate between the Ramban and the Rambam that finds itself in a few of these mitzvahs, but more prevalently in challah, that this is not one mitzvah, but at first the Ramban says there's the mitzvah of hafrasha, there's the mitzvah that's focused on the iser to remove the challah and be metaken and fix this chetze shel iser, and then a separate mitzvah, once you did that, to give it to the Kohen. And I didn't bring it down here, but the Ramban has a few proofs to this. He says, of course it's not just a mitzvah to give it to the Kohen, argues the Ramban. Look at the lashon of the bracha. Al afrasha. The language is the mitzvah of afrasha. So of course there's an independent mitzvah of hafrasha. And the Ramban says, I'll prove to you another way that there's an independent mitzvah of afrasha. Because the Kohanim themselves, who don't have to give it to anyone, still are obligated to be mafresh challah from their dough. So you see, there's an independent mitzvah of hafrasha. The Achronim, defending the Rambam, state that yes, the Rambam also thought that there was a mitzvah of hafrasha and nisina to the Kohen, giving to the Kohen was the mitzvah. But the Rambam just thought was all one large package. The mitzvah in its essence has two components. On the one hand, the beginning of the mitzvah is when you approach your dough to take off a piece, fix the iser of the dough prior to removing that, and then you take that piece of dough and you finish the mitzvah and you give it to the Kohen. So the Rambam says, yeah, I agree that the mitzvah, the bracha, has within it hafrasha. Because that's not a hechsher mitzvah. That's not like painting the tefillin that we don't make the bracha. Or putting the tefillin together or building the sukkah. Yeah, that's not a hechsher mitzvah. That's the haskolas ha-mitzvah. But that's not the only component in the mitzvah. There's a larger mitzvah. It has a big umbrella of two components. And the Rambam will argue that could be, and this is very fundamental for the lumdis, when a person learns the sugyas of Kohanim, what is the nature of a Kohen? Of Willi, when you will be mafresh challah for yourself, or you, Emir Tzashem, will give truma, you'll be mafresh the truma. So is the pshat, like the Ramban says, there's an independent mitzvah hafrasha that you have to take care of, but there's no mitzvah nesina, and that's his proof. Or, argues the Achronim, no. Maybe the Kohen is just giving it to himself. There's a mitzvah hafrasha and a mitzvah nesina, it's all one mitzvah, the Rambam's arguing, but both of those components apply to a Kohen himself, because he first takes it off, he's mafresh the challah, and then by him attaining it himself, he's as if he's giving it to himself. So maybe the Rambam, that's also not a proof against the Shitas HaRambam from the fact that the Kohanim also have to separate challah, because they are considered as if they're giving it to themselves, and that's the second component of one larger mitzvah. So we already have a fundamental debate between the Rambam and the Ramban, whether or not the Hafrasha and the Nesina, are they considered two separate mitzvos, or are they one large mitzvah with two separate components? So the Ramban is, the same debate would apply by regular Truma as well, the same Machlokas. Excellent point. If you look at source number 2, and we go back to the story with my son Akiva, with the measurement of 1/48. So the source for that is a Mishnah in Challah, and it's highlighted in the Shulchan Aruch in Yerideya and Siman Shin Chaf Beis.
When you open up Shulchan Aruch, this is the first thing you read. Mitzvah's essay, there's a positive commandment. Lahafrish truma mina isa v'litna l'kohen. That a person should remove the truma mina isa, again, that nusach that the Mechaber is using, like Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said in the Mechaber, v'litna l'kohen, give it to the Kohen. Shne'emar reishis arisoschem charimu truma. The Torah calls it a truma. Reishis zeh, listen to the Mechaber. And this challah that we have to take off, ein la shir min haTorah. It does not have a biblical measurement. Afilu hifrish kisaora, pater saisa. Even if you took off the smallest, minuscule amount, you now removed the prohibition, pater saisa, you exempted the dough from the chi of challah. A person should not make the whole batch challah. You should make part of it. Ad sheyishar miktzas. That's a separate halacha, which is called sheyesh yar nikarim. You should have left over meireishis. Learned that from the pasuk meireishis arisoschem, from the reishis. But listen to this language. Umidivrei sofrin mafrishin echad michaf dalad mina isa, and midrabanan. The rabbis enacted that there should be a specific measurement of how much you should take off. Either 1/24th, v'anachtom, and the baker, ha'osa limkor bashok, who sells it, mafrish echad mimemches, he should take 1/48th, similar to the story with Akiva, which was our measurement for saving the shear of the lechem mishnah shlemos, 1/48th. Fine. The initma isa b'shogeg oba ones af balabayis mafrish echad mimemches. So we asked, if I'm not a baker, so why am I going with the measurement of 1/48th? If really I have to give 1/24th, because that's the shear given, the measurement given to our stam balabas. The answer is because we're all tameh, we're all impure. And if the rabbis weren't concerned, because the Kohen's not going to get the challah anyways, so then you can obviously you can go by the other shear, which is what's given the lower shear, 1/48th, and therefore you can give that amount, and that's why we were able to go by that halacha. The Chacham Tzvi and those poskim, when it came to the lechem mishnah shaila, went with that measurement. Yet your impression when the Shulchan Aruch presents these shiurim is that all of these shiurim, whether bizman hazeh or whatever, they're all rabbinic. The rabbis invented. Yet when you're mavrish sedra this week, that's not the impression you get. If we look at Rashi ala Torah, Rashi, when presenting to us on page 812, pasuk yud zayin and yud ches, Rashi says, when the pasuk says ketrumas goren, this truma is like truma, the truma of the goren, shelo nemar bashir, that there is no shear. Velo ketruma smaiser shenemar bashir, and it's not like truma smaiser, which has a shear. Aval chachamim nosnu shear lebalabais echad mi'esr marba ulenachtum echad mi'arba imishvona. So the rabbis, exactly mimicking what we just read in Shulchan Aruch, the rabbis were the ones who gave us the shear. Yet let's go one other pasuk later. Pasuk chaf aleph, the Rashi, the next Rashi, lama nemar. Titnu Lashem truma, lefi shelo shamanu shir lechala, nemar titnu sheyehei ba kidei nesina. Rashi says, why did the Torah say titnu when it comes to challah? So that we're explaining the Torah, titnu, that there has to be a limited amount, a kidei nesina. There has to be a certain measurement that you're actually going to give to the Kohen. So Rashi is contradicting himself. All the Mefarshim ask. The Gurariyeh, the Reim, they all ask over here. The Reim, they all ask. I don't understand. Is there a shear? Is there not a shear? Rashi in one line says it's all rabbinic. And then Rashi's explaining the Pasuk and saying, Yeheba Kedei Nesina. And this was a question that the Shoel sent to the Noda B'Yehuda in source number 3. You look at Shulchan Aruch, you look at the first Rashi, so we get the impression that all these shiurim are rabbinic in nature. Yet Rashi in the next Rashi says that there is a shiur min haTorah. Another Rashi in Menachos, that's also Mashma, that the 148th shear is biblical. Valzet Tamar Mar traits me. Chada the shear chaluhu midrabanan. The Shaul asks, one, the whole shear chal, look at the Shulchan Aruch. It's all rabbinic. V'samcho amadich siv titnu. Alvim in Torah. Ein lechal ashir, k'mavur b'poskim, ruba k'kulam b'rambam, u'b'tur Shulchan Aruch that we just read. The Rashi b'chumish parsha shlach, Rashi in our parsha, your maver sedra, kasev trumas goren, shelo nemar b'ashir. V'chita achas poteres hazakri. You take off a minuscule amount, that's sufficient for challah. Avol chachomim, nasnu b'ashir l'bal bais. Okay, the rabbis gave us a shir, it's a derabanan. Mashakasav Rashi with Pasuk Shachora, but look at the next Rashi. Tidnu Lashem Truma. Farkasav Amizrahi. The Eino Ela Derech Asmachta. Yeah, you can get out of it. You can say it's an Asmachta. It's not Deoraisa. Everything's rabbinic. Pchen Kasav Asmag. Emer Mayati Yitachon Lefarish Eilas Ashas. Benelef Mifchal de Saga Bekoshu Akol Sharn Doram Milsa. Vod Hikshu de Rashi Achaz Echad Mi Memches. Vare Balabais. Why did Rashi say Memches? Vare Balabais is really 124th. Vitzorach Lomer de Dictic Rashi Lechos Hayoser Muat Vitafasamut. Imkain Lama Pirish Rashi Leel. So he's asking all these kashas. Let's skip. Vihine says the Nod Yuda, the MS Kushyosev Chamuros. Vafa Pichain. We have to be able to read the Parsha. We have to be able to Marivar Sedra, says the Nod Yehuda. So Nod Yehuda in Ashtikul Torah in Yeridei in Tinyana, he's explaining a contradiction in Rashi.
I don't say why can't you just say that Rashi says that
Rashi says that, but the next one, Rashi says, Titnu, the Lashon of the Torah, Titnu, is a Shir Kedei Nasina. So there is a shear of how much you should give. Va'omer ani, shema shebar lemaluso, she'ein lechala shum shear min haTorah, ein ani maskim imo lachlutin. I don't fully agree with you. The Yesh Lomar Bazeh says, no, the Yehuda, a massive chiddush. Davar chadash, lo kidmuni bazeh, shum mifarish oposek. No one in all of Shas, in all of Gaonim, in all of Rishonim, in all of Achronim, prior to me, says Rabbi Yecheskel Landau, the Nod Yehuda, has ever said such a chiddush, but I am about to say a massive chiddush. Ki ha-mitzvah hazos, hafroshes chala, im ki mitzvah achas, yesh bo shnei inyonim. He follows along the lines of what we started off with. Whether according to the Rambam, there are two components, or according to the Ramban, there are two separate mitzvahs like he proved. But the Nod Yehuda is saying, it even applies when it comes to the measurement itself. Ha'inyan ha'echad, hu la'afkia iser tevel mina isa, ki kodem ha'afrasha, hi asura bi'achila. Yes! There's one thing called chita achas poteres akri. You take a speck, a crumb off for challah, now it's mutter. Now that's resolving the isser. It's not tevel anymore, and one is not chayiv misa bidei shemayim if he eats that challah and he doesn't trafe up his oven. Val yidei afroshes challah mina isa, kvar hufka isser tevel, v'hutra isa ba'achila. Now it's mutter to eat. V'afim acher kach yachzik bala isa. And even if he keeps it to himself and he rips off the kohen, below yimenu lekohen, ein kan ela gezel ashevet. That's another issue. He's stealing by isa hutra ba'achila. But in terms of your day, if you're makbid only on treif and you're not makbid on gneva, which a lot of people, you know, we're not. That's for another discussion. You call the rav. I care about kashrus. Okay, chita achas poteres akri. The Nod Yehuda says you're off the hook. Ba'amnam a mitzvah yikaris. Whether or not it's a separate mitzvah or one mitzvah, like we said before, litna lekohen, to give it to willim. This is the second component in mitzvah chala. That's a kolshu. But to fulfill the separate part, which is the mitzvahs nesina, which the Ramban counted as a totally separate mitzvahs, Zeh yesh lo shir min haTorah. That even exists on a biblical level. Kaven dechsiv, since Rashi and Pasuk Chaval, the second Rashi that we read, titnu tzarech shiye kidei nesina. Vashir azeh hu echad mi chaf dalid o echad mi memches. Kasher nevar achagach hu min haTorah b'tzad u midrabana b'tzad. We're not going to read the rest of the tshuva, but the Noda B'Yehuda is saying there are two aspects, like we introduced in the Shir and the Rambam and the Ramban, to the mitzvah of challah. There is the Yoredeya, there is being matir, permitting this dough now to be baked, to be eaten, and it's now kosher, it's not going to trape up your oven. But then there's a separate component, which is the Dine Mominus, which is what you have to give to the Kohen. And that's what Rashi is saying, Titnu Lashem, that there's actually some sort of shear when it comes to truma, when it comes to challah, that this is the amount that you have to give to the Kohen. Yeah, but wait a second. But Shulchan Aruch said, and Rashi himself said, that the shear of Echad Michav Dalid to a Balabayis, or 1/48 to a baker, is invented by the rabbis. So how is he suggesting now that that shear, when the Torah said Tidnu, that refers to the Nesina min haTorah? No, to be the stock. It's a beautiful Hesber. We understand the background where he got it from. He probably saw the Rambam and the Ramban that we started off with. That there are two components, but it's very difficult for you to say that 1/24 or 1/48 is a biblical concept. That's how much you have to give. So then the No, to be the says in the end of the Tshuva, another chap. 1/24 and 1/48 is only rabbinic in the whole amount that you're baking. The Torah said when you bake challah, 43 and a half beitzim, that's the amount that's chayiv in challah. We'll discuss the poskim, the shiurim, two and a third pounds, 5 pounds, whatever it is, 5 pounds for a bracha. That's the way you get to the shiur lamaisa, 43 beitzim. Okay? So that's the minimum amount. So when the Torah says you should give a kedei nesina, the Torah said on that amount you should give 1/48 or 1/24. That's a kedei nesina. What did Chazal institute of 1/24 and 1/48, argues the Noda B'Yehuda? That is relative to the amount that you bake. The fraction of 1/24 and 1/48 can be much larger if you bake 26 pounds, right? When it comes to the rabbinic mitzvah, whatever you bake, you should take off that fraction from the amount you bake. Argues the Noda B'Yehuda, that's rabbinic. That's midrabbanan. Min haTorah, you only have to take 1/48 for a baker on the smallest amount, chayiv and challah, of what the Torah is referring to. So really, there are even two different shir nesinas that Chazal were giving us. On the one hand, there's the Torah, kedei nesina, titnu, which is on the most minimal amount of chiyuv challah. You should give 1/24, 1/48. That, the Noda B'Yehuda says, is the mitzvah nesina min haTorah. And then the Rabbanan came along and said, no, whatever you bake, no matter how large and how much you bake, you should give 1/24 and 1/48. And that's what Rashi is referring to and what the Shulchan Aruch is referring to when they say challah, the shiurim, are really midivrei sofrim. So you have this massive chiddush of the Noda B'Yehuda that says even the shear of 1/48 is not necessarily rabbinic. There is a shear of the Nesina also. So when it comes to the Heter HaIsser, to removing the Isser, so that's where the Noda B'Yehuda says, yeah, that's midrabbanan. That's Chita Achas. That's a Kolshu. But then the Torah didn't stop there like we started off the shear. The Torah also spoke about the fact that you have to give it to a Kohen. So comes along the Noda B'Yehuda and says, that shear Nesina to a Kohen, that's not a Kolshu. That's a Kedei Nesina. That's a significant amount. That's a specific giving's worth amount. How much is that? 1/24 or 1/48 of the minimal shear of 43 beitzin. However, what did the Rabbanon Institute? They said, take that same fraction, 1/24 and 1/48, and now apply that to however much you bake.
So if you're making a massive party, you're baking a big Shabbos, and you're baking much more than the minimal amount of shear challah, you will give a much larger shear for challah based on the rabbinic institution. But this no de Yehuda is following the idea of the Ramban and the Rambam, that there are two aspects over here. And just to point out, is that the no de Yehuda gives an introduction when he introduces this Chiddush. Lo kidmuni, you know, lefanai, shum, kadmon, or rishon, or achron. So if you look through the rishonim, the achronim already point out, the Mishnah Melech and others point out, the Tosis Rid in Kiddushin in the second parak, and the Maram Chalava in his Kiddushin, one of the rishonim, on Psachim, they already came up with such a concept. So it already finds itself in the kadmonim, in the rishonim. No, the Behuda didn't have, Baruch Hashem, we're lucky to have these Rishonim that a lot of the earlier Achronim weren't able to have. But his Chidushim are already found in the Rishonim, at least some of his Chidushim, and the Chiddush does exist. But that's just an application and a massive Chiddush, not the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch, that even the 148th that we were starting off the Shir from the Chacham Tzvi and applying it to Lecha Mishnah, that could even have its roots in the Lashon of the Torah and resolve a contradiction from one Rashi to the next through this No Debi Yehuda, you know, in terms of the fact that it's biblical in its nature. What I'd like to discuss now in source number 4 is a Shaila that often people don't associate when it comes to the mitzvah of challah, but has many ramifications la'alacha. We alluded to it in the shir that I gave all the way back at the beginning of the year on the third night of Rosh Hashanah on Pas Akum and Pas Yisrael. So I alluded to this in the shir, but now we'll talk about this again as it pertains to the mitzvah of challah. The halacha is that challah does not only apply to the chalos of Shabbos and regular bread, but it applies to cakes and cookies. And you know, a lot of there's stories that you know, women that were involved in bakeries, you know, without mashkichim, and they said, cakes in my house, they never used to be mafresh challah on cakes, cookies. What? There's no mafresh challah. Yeah, and she's like, and my father was a rav. Yeah, the answer is because when they were baking, there wasn't a significant amount that was baked. But of course, cakes and cookies are also obligated in challah, and that brings us to the next halacha, which is the Mishnah in the first parak of Challah. Isa shetchilasa sufganim, v'sofo sufganim, p'tura min Challah. Tchilasa isa, v'sofo sufganim, tchilasa sufganim, v'sofo isa, chayavim b'Challah. What is this Mishnah talking about? It's talking about some dough that is tchilasa sufganim. It's somehow, it's spongy at the beginning. V'sofo sufganin, p'tura min challah. If it's spongy at the beginning, and it ultimately will be spongy at the end, so then it's exempt from challah. T'chilaso isa, if it's more of a needy entity, it's a need-based, it had more of a stronger, what they call in halacha, a blila ava, v'sofo sufganin, but at the end it was lacking and something happened in the process that it didn't keep that consistency. Tchilasa sufganim v'sofo isa chayavim b'challah. Comes along the Rabbeinu Tam in Sefer HaYosher and he says very simply, this Mishnah is talking about a thick kneaded dough, like we bake challah. You do lisha and then you can finish off that process in many different ways. The woman takes the challah, she starts kneading it. Isa shetchilasa sufganim. So if it wasn't a blila ava at the beginning, if it wasn't a thick kneading, rather it was a blila raka, which is why the Mishnah was referring to it as sufganim. It's soft, it's spongy. V'sofo sufganim. P'tura min challah. So if first it was a blila raka, it was a liquid form batter, and then in the end, you cooked it and you never made it into bread, so then it's exempt from challah. However, says the Rabbeinu Tam, and this is where it's important, tchilaso isa, v'sofo sufganim, but if it's originally a thick kneaded batter, a blila ova, like we have with our dough. V'sofo sufganin. And then what happened? I fry it, or I cook it in water, and I don't finish the classic bread process with baking, but rather the sofa is sufganim, which is either tigun, frying, or bishul. Then the Rabbeinu Tam learns chayav b'challah. It's enough to just have that original process, the kneading, the blila ava, the fact that this originated like a bread type item, that is already obligating in challah. Comes along the Rabban and the Rash in source number 5, and he says, absolutely not. The Mishnah the whole time was dealing with the classical dough. Shetchilasa sufganim. What does it mean, blila ava tchilasa sufganim? It means that you, when your mind, when you were kneading it, you thought to do bishul. You thought that in the completion, you are not going to bake this, but rather, you're going to cook this. That's what tchilasa sufganim. Tchilasa sufganim doesn't mean the batter was a liquid batter. No, that's forbidden. Tom says that he's wrong. The Mishnah is always talking about a thick batter, like we have when we need dough, like we're going to need tomorrow, the thick. But the question of tchilasa is, what was your intention at the time of kneading? Was it la'efos? Was it to bake, which is what's necessary in order to obligate yourself in challah? Or no, were you thinking about cooking? And therefore, the Ramban and the Rash tell us that if a person, at the time of kneading, didn't think to bake the item, so that is already going to exempt this from challah. Tchilasa sufganim, v'sofo sufganim, and then you actually cook it, so that's a case where you're going to be exempt from challah, even though I needed this thick batter. And I'm dealing with a thick batter. So the Ramban and the Rash are saying, you can have a full-fledged lisha, person could be kneading this thick batter together in the kitchen, yet his intention is to cook it, that's not going to obligate me in challah, unless I ultimately bake it and change my mind. And that's what the Mishnah is referring to. So we, right now, on our hands, have a major machlokus in the Rishonim, whether or not a person who has a thick batter and ultimately cooks that batter, so will that be obligated in challah or not? And you have another machlokis in the Rishonim. According to the simple understanding of the Rabbeinu Tam, one's intention, even if it's to think to cook it at the time that you're kneading, that's sufficient. So the way, the simple understanding of Rabbeinu Tam is that as long as a person is involved in the physical process, in the physical kneading, and this is in its physical sense, a thick batter, that's sufficient to be mechayev in challah. Lisha on its own obligates a person in the mitzvah of challah. Whereas the Ramban and the Rash say that's not the case. The end day, the culmination, that's what's important. It's not just the fact that there's a thick batter over here. It's not the fact that there's a blila ava, but a person has to know that he's going to bake this batter. And it's going to go through the classical process of baking, the end game of going into the oven in order to obligate it in challah. The afiyah is what's crucial when it comes to the mitzvah of challah. And the Ramban and the Rash attack Rabbeinu Tam. And they say, how could you say that the initial process of the challah is the only thing that's important? Only the kneading, only the initial steps, that's what's important? But doesn't the Mishnah tell us that if a person kneads a dough and then he has kavana to give it to the dogs, or he's makdish it after he kneads the dough, that that's going to pater a person from challah? So they attack the Rabbeinu Tam and they say, you see from there that Lisha is not sufficient. Because if you would look at the person at the time of Lisha and you ignore his intention to bake it like the Ramban and the Rash are arguing, so then one should obligate this situation in challah.
Yet the Rabbeinu Tam has to agree that the Mishnah says if you give it to the Klavim, if you have Kavana at the time of needing it, that's not sufficient. So isn't that a proof that it's not sufficient just to need a thick batter in order to obligate one in challah, and one has to think about the end game reality? And that's a very, very strong question against the Rabbeinu Tam that the Rash is asking, and the Ramban in his Chidushim also asks against the Rabbeinu Tam. How do you deal with all of these sources that deal with the end game when it comes to challah, and are not only focused on the kneading, on the blila ava, on the fact that this originated as a thick batter, and that's enough? So the Rabbeinu Yonah has a different analysis, and we're going to have to cut short because we're ending the shiur, but this is a major source and a debate amongst the poskim. What bracha would you make on such an item? Let's say your wife is baking this, so not only is this a machlokas in Hilchos Challah, if a person has a thick batter and ultimately cooked it, so the Rabbeinu Tam holds that a person is chayev in challah. The Mechaber paskins against the Rabbeinu Tam. A person has a thick batter, but he cooks it. He puts shemen, he makes a geschmack, and he puts it in a pot. So then, ultimately, that, according to Rabbeinu Tam, you'd have to be mafresh challah. According to some opinions, Tosfos in source number 6, we're not going to be able to look it inside, Tosfos thought maybe Rabbeinu Tam would even make a hamotzi. Lokshin kogel, this applies to, according to some poskim, with the exception of the Rabbeinu Yonah that we're not going to have time to get to, that requalifies the Rabbeinu Tam in order to answer all these questions that the Rishonim present. But just know that this issue is out there. Anytime you have any thick batter that ultimately you cook and you don't even finish the bread process, we have a major machlokas Rishonim. Was that crucial? Is the afiyah, the baking, crucial in order to be mechayev in challah? When you look at the simple psukim, one reads them, there seems to be two aspects to challah. One looks at the psukim, it sounds like there's on the one hand, on the one hand it has to be bread. I would say that that refers to the end game, the fact that it's baked. But then there's another pasuk, Reishis arisoschem challah, terimu truma. Then there's a pasuk that focuses on the batter, the lisha, the fact that you're kneading, the arisa, the batter, what you're about to bake. So that would be a separate mechayev. Tosfos himself is this topic, has a question, will a person make a brachas hamotzi or not on this thick batter that ultimately is cooked? So that could possibly depend on how far you take Rabbeinu Tam. Did Rabbeinu Tam say, yeah, even when it comes to lakshin kugel, even when it comes to any thick batter, and you cook this item, you totally ignore the end game? Or no? Even the Rabbeinu Tam, as you'll see in source number 7, you'll look at it when you get home, agrees that there has to be an end game, but there's another way to look at the Rabbeinu Tam Shita. It's not that we ignore the fact that it has to be lechem at the end of the day. It also has to be lechem. Just bishul, according to Rabbeinu Tam, cooking and frying doesn't remove the shame lechem. The Rabbeinu Tam also suggests Rabbeinu Yonah thought that there was a longer process over here. And it wasn't only limited to the kneading of a thick batter. The Rishonim say, but he says you can cook the item. Of course it's only based on Elisha. No, what he meant was cooking doesn't remove, by definition, a shame challah. The act of bishul is not a contradiction to lechem. You can have a thick batter that can ultimately finish its process through the cooking process. Yet, of course, Rabbeinu Tam thought that at the end of the day, it should be lechem. And whatever the definition of lechem is, it has to follow. Just Rabbeinu Tam was more expensive that the end day could also include bishul. And the fact that you're cooking something doesn't remove the fact that you started off a bread process. But you need Elisha, and you need that at the end of the day, it should be lechem. Just he views bishul, that still is considered lechem. Whereas the other Rishonim, the Rash and the Ramban, said, Rabbeinu Tam, he only looks at the arisa. He only looks at the kneading. He couldn't care less what your machshava is at the end of the day. He doesn't care if it's lechem at all at the end of the day, as long as he can do a thick kneading, a thick batter.
And that's why they asked. What about the Mishnayos about giving it at the end of the day to the Klavan? What about at the end of the day you're going to be Makadosh it? Doesn't that seem to say that there's a longer process? Writes the Rabbeinu Yonah, yeah, of course the Rabbeinu Tam agrees that there's a longer process. Of course that's true. Yet, he thought Bishul didn't contradict that longer process. The Chazon Ish writes that this debate, this lumdis, these two ways to analyze the Shita of the Rabbeinu Tam is the question that Tosfos is nistafek and dealing with. Can you extrapolate from the laws of Chala whether or not I would make a hamotzi when it comes to this blila ova, this thick batter that I'd cook? Well, let's see. If you understand that when it comes to Chala, all you need is a kneading, is a thick batter, so then that has no relevance to Hilchos Brachos. That means when it comes to challah, you open up Parsha Shlach. It says, Reishis Ariso Seichem. It doesn't say anything like that when it comes to Hilchos Brachos. We don't care how it was originally created. We care what you're eating right now, B'shas Bracha. However, if you analyze Rabbeinu Tam to say, of course I need it to be Lechem when it comes to challah. Of course my end game has to be that this went through a challah process, Mitzchila V'ad Sof. Yet the way I look at the Bishul process is that that's not a contradiction. Cooking is not a contradiction to challah. That's the case. When I'm served this in front of me, and it looks like, says Rabbeinu Yonah, it has to have a toar lechem. It has to look like a piece of bread in some way, shape, or form. If it did so, even though it was cooked, so then I can extrapolate the laws of Hilchos Brachos and say a birkas hamotzi even on such an item. There's a lot more to talk about. Baruch Hashem, we're going to spur a lot of Shalom Bayis through this Challah week, because you'll have to hear a lot of the halachos that are halacha l'maisa tomorrow night at Challah week. When is a person obligated to Challah? What if a person freezes some of the dough, doesn't bake it all at one time? What happens if some of the dough gets mixed into the batter? What do you do? All these, you'll ask your wives and you'll have discussions for the Thursday night dinner table, and it will be beautiful. Just before we start Marv, I just want to end with one last idea. One of the halachos that we'll discuss primarily, we didn't get a chance to, is that challah, unfortunately today, even in Eretz Yisrael, is rabbinic in its nature. Yet there's also rabbinic chiv in America, in chutz la'aretz, challahs chutz la'aretz. But they're not the same. And you'll see there are many different halachos. If a person forgets to be mafresh challah, there's a slew of halachos that apply to chutz la'aretz that don't apply to Eretz Yisrael. Why do you find that when it comes to challah, specifically, the Rabbanan decided to enact, even in chutz la'aretz, the mitzvah of challah? Why is challah any different? Okay, challah Eretz Yisrael, I understand. Truma also exists in the Rabbanan Eretz Yisrael. Why is challah distinct in its nature? The response to Cheira Meraglin was the mitzvah of challah. What was their mistake? So I think the answer is a possible analysis is when they went into Eretz Yisrael, when the Meraglim went in, and what they bring back? They brought back these massive fruits. And they were these descriptive items that they used in their descriptive arguments, explaining, this is why we can't go to cultivate the land. Look at this. This is not what Eretz Yisrael, this is not what Hashem wanted. Mitzvah Tluyas Baretz, come on, look at these grapes. You think you're going to be Tluyas Baretz with these things, this massive size? And that's the way they argued, so the mitzvahs don't apply to us. It's not the right time. It's not ripe. It's not for us. Yet what were they missing? They were missing the whole yesod of what Eretz Yisrael was. They had a very limited focus and perspective on Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, Eretz Yisrael is a place, it's an area where you could have a few more mitzvahs that are involved in cultivating the land, that are involved in mitzvahs hatluyos baretz, trumos, maaseros. Yeah, we have these new opportunities. But look, it's not fit right now. Hashem doesn't really want it right now. Look at the size of these things. And that was their mistake. It's not only about cultivating the land. As the Ramban tells us, every mitzvah that we do, even tefillin, is a different nature when it comes to the hashpah of Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael doesn't only imbue Kedusha into the land. Eretz Yisrael changes your whole life of mitzvahs. Eretz Yisrael changes your tefillin, your Shabbos, your yontif, everything. It has a kedusha that's palpable that will change your Jewish experience. So therefore, that's what they were missing. And the mitzvah that was commanded right after the Cheira Meraglim is the mitzvah of challah. The mitzvah of challah, Chazal tell us in Ksubas Chavav, although it exists only biblical in Eretz Yisrael, it's bevoachem. The second you take a step into Eretz Yisrael, betchilas bia, not before you're mekadesh the land and you have sheva shekivshu, sheva shechilku, you have the 14 years that imbues kedusha into the aretz. No. Challah is a chiyuv that exists once I take that step into Eretz Yisrael. Because challah is fixing and is the tikkun for the chiyuv of the meraglim. It's representing that Eretz Yisrael is not what they presented. Eretz Yisrael is a chovas aguf. It affects all of our mitzvahs. It's all encompassing. It's not only the karka and what's presented in terms of these fruits that they brought in. It's not only the 14 years to cultivate the land. It affects all of our lives. And therefore, the one mitzvah that right when you get there, although it only applies in Eretz Yisrael, but it represents how Eretz Yisrael is distinct when it comes to all mitzvahs, even the chovas haguf. And that's why challah is the one mitzvah that's commanded even to us here in Fair One. Chalas Chutz La'aretz. Because it's not karka-based. It's not focused on the karka. It reminds us of another aspect of Eretz Yisrael that applies to all of our Jewish experience that we want people, even in the Golos, to remember. Yeshikalev.